This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the first episode of The Power of Dhikr. Across these series of episodes, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to be talking about dhikr, about the virtue of remembering Allah, about the benefits of remembering Allah, about how we should remember Allah and how we shouldn't remember Allah, about some of the things that we are required to do in our dhikr, some of the things that we're recommended to do, some of the rewards of doing so. We have a lot to talk about across these series of episodes about the power of dhikr. To begin, inshallah, we're going to begin with an introduction. And in this introduction, we're going to talk about what we need to do for our deeds to be accepted. Because there's no doubt that the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is from the most virtuous of actions and the most beloved of actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it ranks amongst the highest of all of the actions that a person can do in the religion of Islam. But whatever action we do in the religion of Islam, whether it is dhikr, whether it is prayer, whether it is giving charity, whether it is dua, whether it is any kind of action, whatever action we do in the religion of Islam will not be accepted from us without two things. And it's these two things that we want to talk about in this introduction, inshallah. The first thing that we need for our deeds to be accepted by Allah, for our dhikr to be accepted by Allah, is for our dhikr to be sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that means that our intention has to be right. We know the famous hadith with which Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, may Allah have mercy on him, began his sahih, that indeed actions are judged according to their intentions. And every one of you will have what he intended. So whoever's emigration is for Allah and His Messenger, he will be given the reward of that emigration for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. And whoever emigrates for a woman to marry, or emigrates because of a worldly something in the worldly life that he wishes to achieve, then he will be given the reward of that thing that he wished to emigrate for. So everyone's action will be judged according to their intention. Everyone's action will be judged according to their intention. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept the deeds that are not sincerely for Him alone. And we have a beautiful hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he narrates from Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ana aghna ash-shuraka 'an ash-shirk." I am the least in need of any of those that are made partners with Allah of shirk. I don't need your worship. I don't need you to worship me. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has no need of it, then he, whoever it is that makes a partner, and the hadith continues, whoever makes a partner with me in an action, taraktuhu wa shirka, I abandon him and I abandon the sharing of those rights that he has done, the fact that he has shared those deeds with other than Allah Azza wa Jal, the fact that he was not sincere in his action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept the deeds of those people which are not sincere for Him alone. And that means we don't do dhikr in order for people to see us, for us to show off, for us to look good in front of people. We don't do dhikr because our parents have told us to do it. We don't do dhikr so that it is said, mashallah, this person is from al-dhakirin Allah kathiran wa dhakirat, from those men and women who remember Allah much. That's not the reason why we remember Allah. But we remember Allah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for seeking the face of Allah azza wa jal. This is why we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of Surah Az-Zumar. And he says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. We have revealed to you, O Muhammad. وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, and to those who came before you. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. If you had made a partner with Allah, we would have destroyed your deeds. If this is the deeds of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came with his prophethood, who came with everything that was good, who did every good deed it was possible to do, if this is his situation, then what about us? لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. If you had made a partner with Allah, we would have destroyed your deeds. And this issue of intention is not an easy issue. It's not an issue that is simple in the minds of the people. It's something that the shaitan will try to change you in and will try to manipulate you around. So you begin with a sincere intention, and then maybe you see that people are praising you for what you're doing. Maybe you see that a lot of people are copying what you're doing, and the shaitan comes to you and he begins to whisper into your ear and to say to you, do a little bit more, make it a little bit better, look good in front of the people, and so on and so forth. And so this issue comes in. There is something that can save us in terms of our sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that we ask Allah and we make dua to Allah to make us sincere for Him alone. And there are various du'as that are authentically reported in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we have done anything to associate a partner with Him, or if our intention has failed, to keep us sincere upon the right path and to forgive us for what we are not aware of. And inshaAllah ta'ala, over our course of discussion of dhikr, we will talk more about these du'a and these types of dhikr that we can do. The second condition for anybody's deeds to be accepted, for your dhikr to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it is in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith, "Man amila amalan لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action which is not in accordance with what we have brought with him, with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will have it rejected. Now a person may come and a person may say, but my intention is sincere. I'm doing this just for Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm not doing it so that people say that I'm a great remember of Allah, that I'm a pious worshipper, that I'm a abid, I'm a wonderful person who's dedicated themselves to the worship of Allah, that I'm a zahid, someone who has turned away from the dunya. I'm doing it only for Allah. Surely that is enough. We say, no, it's not enough. And we will give you an example of why it is not enough. In an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a companion. And this companion, he wished to sacrifice his Eid, his Udhiyah, his Eid sacrifice before the Eid prayer. And we know the sunnah is to sacrifice after the prayer. And the reason that he wanted to do it before the prayer is because he wanted to feed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hungry. He saw that the companions were hungry. He saw that there hadn't been a lot of food around at the time. He was wished to give a service to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be the first one to put food in the mouth of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Eid. Isn't this the most beautiful intention? Could we have an intention better than this intention? No. It's a beautiful intention from a noble companion. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from the khutbah and the companion offered him this meat. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked what it was, he said, this is the sacrifice that I have done. And it was clear that he had slaughtered the animal and prepared the animal before the Eid prayer. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to him and he said, "Shatuka shatu lahm." It's nothing but meat. It has no reward in the sight of Allah. It's not going to be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal, because it wasn't in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best intention, the most beautiful intention, but it wasn't in accordance with the sunnah, and so it wasn't accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to eat it. He refused to eat it. And then the companion showed his sincerity, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made an exception for him and said, I will eat it from you, but I will not eat it from anyone who comes after you. Whoever does something that's not in accordance with the sunnah will have it rejected. And likewise, we see the intention of those noble companions, who the one who said that, "I want to pray all night, I don't want to sleep." And the one who said, "I want to fast every single day and I never want to break my fast." And the one who said, "I'm not going to marry so that I can get closer to Allah." Look at the wonderful intention. Look at the beautiful intention. What happened when the Prophet ﷺ heard what they said? He said his famous statement, "Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." The one who wants something other than my sunnah, who turns away from my sunnah, who wants something different than the sunnah, is not from me. And this word, "laysa minni," he's not from me. It's a very severe, severe statement. He is not one of my people. He's not one of my followers. He's not a true practicing believer as he should be. He's not from me. I'm not associated with him. He has nothing to do with me. Simply because they had a great intention, but they didn't do it in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we go on to talk about this dhikr that we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk about all of the kinds of dhikr inshaAllah, and the virtue of dhikr, and some of the confusion people have around it, we have to bear in mind that every single type of dhikr that we do, and every single type of worship that we do to come near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will only be accepted with two things. It will only be accepted if it is sincere for Allah, not for your mom and dad, not to show off, not for the other people, not so they say it about you, not so you appear to be a great person in your community. And it has to be in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the meaning of the ayah in Surah Al-Kahf, at the very end of Surah Al-Kahf. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, whoever wants to meet with his Lord, whoever wants to meet with his Lord, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, let him do good deeds, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and let him not make any partner with his Lord. So it has to be sincere for Allah, and it has to be good, pious, acceptable deeds that are in accordance with the sunnah of his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's all we have time for in this episode, inshallah. Please do join me again in a future episode of The Power of Dhikr. Until then, I leave you in the care of Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.